each and every one of you are standing in the watchtower. If you want to save democracy, that means getting involved in democracy. Be sure you rock your vote before November 5th. You can do it on November 5th, but I like getting it out of the way. I did that today. I got one less thing to worry about. It all matters. It especially matters if you or someone you love in your friend circle, in your community, in your faith groups, in your family, is someone with special needs or is disabled. Because what Donald Trump and the Republicans promised to do with the entire system of laws in this country that are designed to ensure that people with special needs and disabled folks get to participate fully in every aspect of family, community, political, and economic life. They plan to dismantle all of that. My special guest, her name is Mia Ives-Rubley. She's the Senior Director for Disability Justice at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. She's helping explain what this would mean for all of our families and communities. Thanks again very much, Mia. It's great to have you with us. Let's talk a little bit about what Project 2025 proposes to do to effectively eliminate workplace protections for disabled folks. Tell us more.
Yeah, so I want to talk about two different points. One point is just the basic protections for disabled people to be able to work. That's one part. And then the second part is their ability to actually work. Mm. So the programs that are sort of facilitating the individual's ability to work is the second section that is impacted. And so let's talk about the first part, which is the one that most people are familiar with, which is the EEOC that ensures that individuals aren't discriminated against. That's where you file any workplace complaints if you're not, you know, just in general.
Yes.
And what it does is that it eliminates the ability for the EEOC to, one, be able to see, to collect data on workplace discrimination and issues in the workplace from disabled people. So that's one, and includes other areas as well, race, gender, et cetera. But it also impacts, you know, the disability, whether you identify as disabled. And how that impacts people is that this is how the EEOC decides to do specific complaint processes and prioritizing specific issues that disabled people are facing. So it eliminates the ability for EEOC to track where the harms are.
Mm.
And then two, it eliminates the ability for EEOC to do consent decrees, which are the basic structure that the EEOC is able to ensure that companies do better around, you know, improve their workplace policies so that they aren't discriminating against disabled people.
So just to summarize and to help explain in lay language, what Project 2025 proposes to do is eliminate the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission's ability to collect demographic data, to require especially larger employers to produce demographic data. This makes it impossible to analyze the data for potential discrimination occurring in especially our largest employers. Then it proposes to take away the very legal tool that enables the EEOC to monitor compliance with anti-discrimination laws after an employer has been found either liable for discrimination or it can be a settlement in lieu of full litigation. But it's the tool when there's a lot of facts that show that an employer has either per se discriminated or is engaging in patterns that are likely to give rise to per se unconstitutional discrimination. So it takes away the ability to diagnose the problem, and then it takes away the ability for the EEOC to do something about the problem on more than a one-off basis. It literally guts the entire regulatory system that is envisioned to help ensure people have access to a full economic life and participation in the workforce. Am I overstating that, Mia? Because that's what I thought when I read it. It was like, it sounds wonky and in the weeds, but it ain't. It's all the marbles.
Yes. And And I will also add that there's a separate part within Project 2025 that talks about disparate impact.
Yes.
Now, disparate impact basically states that something that may be unintentional, because we can't prove intentionality in the ways that
Well, because
we
people don't
even
write,
if it's unintentional.
Yeah, they don't write emails that say, let's engage in discrimination. They don't do that.
Usually. Sometimes they do, but usually.
Yes.
Yes. So if we are not able to prove that it was intentional, but it has impacted that community, it basically states that the government can't utilize that to fix problems around discrimination of a specific community, including the disability community. And I will say a large part of discrimination against disabled people is unintentional. A lot of times people don't understand disability, don't know how to accommodate them. And so sometimes there is an unintentional discrimination that occurs, but that totally takes away the ability to make any fixes.
Yes.
Towards that.
Folks, we've got to leave it here. Mia, I could talk with you for hours about this. Thank you on a very personal level for all of your advocacy and tireless work on behalf of the disabled community, which, make no mistake, is on behalf of every single one of us and all of our families. You are truly a hero. Her name is Mia Ayves Ruble, the Senior Director of the Disability Justice Initiative at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. When we come back after the top of the hour, it's time for Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. I've got Karen Stewart. Dr. Karen Seal Stewart is a retired business professor, real estate broker, registered investment advisor. We're going to dig in about tax breaks for the very wealthiest on this episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money. Keep it locked.